Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What are you going to do?
Nothing.
You'll have to get out of London.
What for?
We're not going to have this conversation.
It's time.
It's not time. You've got a duty to live, same as the rest of us.
Not quite the same as the rest of you.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and that little scene opens The Last Werewolf, which is both a novel and a new record. The novel is by English author Glen Duncan, and the album was simultaneously created by the English singer-songwriter Stephen Coates. Coates records under the name The Real Tuesday Weld, a name that's the result of a dream that probably wouldn't have been too strange for a young man 50 years ago, but these days is a bit of an anachronism. But then, so is his music. Like Glen Duncan's protagonist, Coates' music seems adrift in time. And both the author and the composer are with us in the Soundcheck studio today to tell us about this striking collaboration. But first, here's a little song from The Last Werewolf. Stephen Coates, a.k.a. The Real Tuesday Weld, live on Soundcheck.
I like the chase till the minute I win it. A beautiful face till there's love for me. Give me your heart and baby up in it. Cause I always kill the things I love. Some folk would die for the sake of another. Lay down their lives for their sisters and brothers. For me, sacrifice means something quite other. Yeah, I always kill the things I love. The look in your eyes will turn to surprise as you feel the pain and you realize one hurting you is somebody who once said, I love you. Yes, I love you. But I always kill things I love. Someday we'll pay back all we've borrowed. What we love today we'll lose tomorrow. But I won't need to wait for my share of sorrow. Cause I always kill the things I love. I won't need to wait for my share of sorrow, cause I already killed the things I love. The things I love. The things I love.
The song is called I Always Kill the Things I Love, and it appears on the new album by The Real Tuesday Weld, the album called The Last Werewolf, a soundtrack, and it is the soundtrack to the book The Last Werewolf by author Glen Duncan. The Real Tuesday Weld is the work of English singer-songwriter Stephen Coates, who you just heard at the keyboard and singing, and the author Glen Duncan also with me. And Stephen, good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Glenn, welcome to Soundcheck.
Very nice to be here.
You and Stephen have done this sort of thing before, collaborating on the book and the CD I, Lucifer. What do you guys get out of working this way?
I think we get to like each other a lot less. It always sounds very strategic when somebody else describes this collaboration. And in a weird way, it's not even really a collaboration because the two things do function as self-contained objects. You don't need to know the album to get the book, and vice versa. They grow up side by side, but sort of like twins who are separated at birth, and then there's a reunion when the album's finished and the book comes out. And it's a strange symbiotic relationship, but the short answer is we just did it because it seemed like a good idea at the time. We were drunk, I think, but it seemed to fly. People really got off on it. So
you're back for another go.
We're having another go.
All right. So I, Lucifer was what, about 5 years ago?
I lose track. I think I, Lucifer was 2003.
Oh, so even more.
2004, okay. Something like that.
And Stephen, in these situations, you know, Glenn says it's a symbiotic relationship. Are you aware of where he is in his story as you're creating your own parallel story?
Well, with this this book, I mean, Glenn had actually finished the manuscript, which he sent to me back in, I think, maybe 2009 Christmas, I think. And so it percolated for a while, and then these creatures started to appear. And shortly afterwards, and carried on appearing until this year.
And how closely do your creatures, your stories on the album, match with, you know, the story in The Last Werewolf, the novel?
Well, I think unlike Lucifer, there is more of a sort of parallel with the way that the songs move from beginning to end on this record, and that's emphasised a bit by the extracts from Glenn's book, which are voiced by actors and some readings by Glenn. But I think that the themes in the book, you know, violence, love, loss, betrayal, you know, comedy, that's business as usual for the real Tuesday World, as you know. So mm-hmm. It's like it was another way to approach those subjects, you know, really.
Well, I mentioned in, you know, the sort of the opening that the real Tuesday World's music is often has this kind of anachronistic, lost in time quality to it. I mean, that song you just played for us, kind of a twisted take on something that, I mean, if Noel Coward had written a werewolf song, it might have come out sounding a little bit like
I
that.
I hope so, yeah. That's a nice thought.
I mean, how intentional is that?
Well, in
part?
That particular case of that song, I think in a way that's the nearest I could interpret to the character which Glenn had created without giving too much of the story away. But the protagonist has done something in the past which he's suffering for in the present, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem that the meat that he likes to eat, the flavour is more intense the closer to his heart it is. Is that correct, Glenn?
Yeah, I'd say that about nails it, yeah. You have to understand, it's a really depressing experience for me because, you know, Stephen goes away and sort of in three verses and a couple of choruses pretty much nails what I've just spent 120,000 words on. So it's, I'm delighted that the music's out there, but it's also a kind of, makes me feel like I could have done it in a shorter in a shorter work.
The song that we're going to hear next is called Good Enough to Eat. And Stephen, this is not on the record. This is, I guess, an outtake.
Yeah, I mean, there was several other songs which haven't appeared yet, partly just as a product of space, you know, and how much you can fit mm-hmm. and how much the listener can take. So this is one of the ones that didn't make the first cut.
All right, and Glenn, you're going to set the scene for us with a scene from the story.
We'll do what we can.
All right, Glenn Duncan reading from his novel, The Last Werewolf, and then Stephen Coates, a.k.a. The Real Tuesday Weld, with a live performance of the song Good Enough to Eat on Soundcheck.
A vampire has written, quote, "The great asymmetry between immortals and werewolves, apart from the obvious aesthetic asymmetry, is that whereas the vampire is elevated by his transformation, the werewolf is diminished by his. To be a vampire is to be increased in subtlety of mind and refinement of taste. The self opens the door of its dismal bedsit to discover the house of many mansions. Personality expands indefinitely. The vampire gets immortality, immense physical strength, hypnotic ability, the power of flight, psychic grandeur, and emotional depth. The werewolf gets dyslexia and a permanent erection. It's hardly worth making the comparison." End quote. For all of which, you can read, "Werewolves get to have sex, and we don't." ¶¶
delicious. You really are a treat. From your follicles right down to your feet. I've no wish for another dish. There's nothing quite as sweet. Baby, you look good enough to eat. Baby, you look good enough to eat. I've no appetite for sinners. I can't stand that type. They put me off my dinner. Give me stomachache at night. I love the taste of virtue, the flavor of the right. And baby, you look good enough to eat. Baby, you look good enough to eat. There's nothing on this planet that I would rather do than chase you through the moonlight like I've been longing to. Then take you home and do you right with my red wine ragout. Yeah, baby, you look good enough to eat. Baby, you look good enough to eat. Baby, you look good enough to eat.
Good Enough to Eat, an outtake from The Real Tuesday Weld's most recent album, The Last Werewolf, subtitled A Soundtrack, and it accompanies or is a sort of sibling piece to Glenn Duncan's novel, The Last Werewolf. And Stephen Coates, The Real Tuesday Weld, playing live in the studio, Glenn was talking about how his novel, The Last Werewolf, has the conventions of narrative arc and character development and stuff. You are also kind of playing with conventions here. The, you know, a lot of the pop song tropes of, you know, chasing you through the moonlight, Good Enough to Eat, a song called Tear Us Apart. You know, there are lots of love songs about love tearing us apart. In this case, there's like a whole kind of literal, darker meaning to a lot of these songs.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I've been selective in picking out the pop tropes that can be read both ways, Tear Us Apart and Good Enough to Eat. But I mean, with Tear Us Apart, for instance, I had got a little bit, you know, weary of love being the thing which tears us apart. So, for instance, in that song, it's love won't tear us apart. It's not love that breaks your heart. It's the evil twin, you know, the thing inside, actually, which comes out. So that's a very easy way, which is the great thing about working with somebody else's characters. It's a way into those traditional pop song structures and lyrics, which gives you a different angle on them. So.
And Glenn, how much are you playing with the tropes and conventions of the werewolf story in The Last Werewolf?
A bit. I mean, quite a bit. There are certain boxes that I was very deliberately decided to tick. I mean, you know, the
once
kind of
a month, full moon.
Once a month,
check.
Full moon, silver bullets, you know,
right.
All of that kind of stuff. Increased libido. So that was all going to be there, but it was all, it became something. I mean, I don't want to sort of mislead people into thinking that this was all very carefully thought out at the outset. It wasn't. It was really just designed to be a straight genre thriller. But what happened was that as soon as I started writing it, and as soon as I got my protagonist off the ground, As Stephen said, business as usual was recommenced. You know, I mean, I'm interested in sex and death and morality and love and, you know, cruelty and compassion and the gap between the way we are and the way we want to be. And it just so happens that this is a perfect vehicle for doing that, or it's as good a vehicle as any. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and sometimes you can skin one with a werewolf, it turns out.
So Marlowe, the protagonist, is, he has both, he has compassion and cruelty, he has love and lust and
All the things that we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, the novel will work, you know, by people recognizing themselves in the monster and recognizing the monster in themselves. I mean, that's the beauty of working with these kind of mythic archetypal characters.
We're speaking with Glenn Duncan and Stephen Coates, author and songwriter respectively, each with their own project called The Last Werewolf. Stephen, the next song continues the Save Me, you know, the love as the savior of a soul, a relationship, etc. So playing again with a standard kind of pop music trope. And Glenn, you have something from the novel again to kind of set the stage for us?
Okay. In my dreams, a small wolf slept inside me, and it wasn't comfortable. It moved its heels and elbows and paws, struggled to make space between my lungs, stomach, bladder. Occasionally, a scrabbling claw punctured something, and I woke. "What were you dreaming?" Arabella wanted to know. I knew what it was dreaming. It was dreaming of being born. The form and scale of its occupancy shifted. Sometimes its legs were in my legs, its head in my head, its paws in my hands. Other times it was barely the size of a kitten, heartburn hot and fidgety under my sternum. I'd wake and for a moment feel my face changed, reach up to touch the muzzle that wasn't there. Days passed, and being awake guaranteed nothing. You hold a teacup or the rein of your horse, and there's your hand, your arm, looking just the same as always. But the mass is wrong, the reach, the grip. On the outside, it's you. On the inside, not. "It's not you," Arabella kept saying. "It's still me, but it's not you."
For a girl of my age, I haven't got much to show for my sins. A bloodstained smile, a gunshot eye, and a kiss like a dirty child. But you can save me anytime. Yeah, you can save me anytime. I retreat into myself for a week or maybe more. I do these things that you and I deplore. I can't be trusted with my friends, and I sure can't be trusted with myself anymore. But you can save me anytime. Yeah, you can save me anytime. Who's a kid? Who's a mother? We're all as lost as each other. Who's a killer? Who's a lover? I can't tell the one from the other. But you can save me anytime. Yeah, you can save me anytime. Anytime. daytime.
Once again, Stephen Coates as performing as the Real Tuesday Weld, and the song Save Me from the new Real Tuesday Weld record called The Last Werewolf. And you also heard Glenn Duncan, author of the new novel The Last Werewolf, reading a little bit of that story. Both the album and the novel created at approximately the same time and both released the same date, July 12th of this year. And Stephen and Glenn have been with us on Soundcheck today. Guys, we are out of time, but really great, Stephen, to see you again, and Glenn, to have you here with us on Soundcheck today. Both halves of the project stand alone really well, but fit nicely together, and it's been great hearing the two come together in the studio this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And in the background, from the album by The Real Tuesday Weld, The Last Werewolf, the song called Tear Us Apart. This is Soundcheck. And to see Stephen Coates' playlist of great werewolf songs, check out today's Soundcheck blog. Still to come, a look at the top pop contenders for Song of the Summer 2011. That's next on Soundcheck.